Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is On. Experience the magic of the Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces. Try the latest On running shoe innovations, customize your gear, and more. For the full event schedule, keep tabs on the Penn Relays website. And if you can't be there in person, follow On Instagram for all of the action. The City of Smack team will be in Philadelphia at Franklin Field for that weekend slate of races. We're so excited. Thanks to On for supporting City of Smack. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Before we hit our interview, we love giving the listeners a shout out when they leave a review for us. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from Spare Threads, who wrote, "Sending thanks to the city's team for all your hard work and enthusiasm for all things running. I appreciate all your coverage, the long-form interviews, and the race discussions and recaps. You bring a lot of joy to this listener's ears during my workday and or commute. Keep it up. Thanks especially for spotlighting athletes who don't get a lot of media attention like Hillary Bohr and Elkanah Kibet. And please, more cross-country hype." Ask and you shall receive, Spare Threads. We've got a full reading of the Lap Count newsletter that touches on all things that went down at the World Cross Country Championships and what to look forward to before they come to America in 2026 in Tallahassee. Thanks again for the review.
Backfleet here, taking over for this episode. I just took a trip out to Boulder, Colorado to visit with the OAC. Stay tuned for some videos that we'll have coming your way in the lead up to Penn Relays. My guest for this episode is Australian Olympian Morgan McDonald. In this episode, we chat about how he navigated his comeback from an injury in 2023 to be able to compete at the World Championships in Budapest and Riga. He's played it a bit cautious with his approach to the indoor season, but he's ready to open up his 2024 outdoor campaign at the Australian National Championships. We also get his thoughts on changes he'd like to see in the sport, the success of OAC, and much more. Without further ado, here's Morgan McDonald. Welcome to the City of Smack podcast. I am Mac Fleet, and we are here with OAC's Morgan McDonald. Morgan, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Doing very well. Glad we're here with the second member of Coffee Club. I was there at the workout this morning. How are you feeling after that?
I'm a little tired. Today's been like a busy pro runner's day insofar as it's like, if you tell someone else this, it's like, oh, that sounds like the best day ever. But I had a big workout this morning, then had to hustle straight to a massage, and then had to come here. So I'm a little bit tired, but I feel good.
I remember one of the funniest things Nick Simmons said one time was something similar. He was like, oh, I have a really, really busy day.
Yeah.
I have a swim and a massage coming up. And everyone was like, a busy day? That sounds like a glorious, like, it sounds amazing. But no, to your point, it's time consuming and it definitely takes energy out of you.
Definitely. So, no, but I'm feeling good.
All right, Morgan, let's go back to last year. I don't know if it was a surprise to yourself, but qualifying for Worlds, and I guess what was your biggest takeaway from last year as a whole? And then we'll move into this year, 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, last year was a tough one because I had a big injury early in the year, and it was just super annoying, kind of another like accident type injury where I couldn't run for about like 3 months from January because I broke my knee falling over. And as you said, I ended up qualifying for Worlds, but it was a massive surprise. Like, I had written off like anything like that, and I was just like, I mean, this has been the story of almost my, like, most of the years of my pro career when I've been dealing with a lot of injuries. Like, all I want is just to like be healthy and train consistently. Like, that's literally it. Like, for me, I try to keep things as simple as possible. I have a lot of confidence in myself that, like, if I'm there on the start line and I'm prepared, like, I'm going to go and do my thing and do really well. So it just comes down to, like, being healthy and, just getting the training in. And last year, unfortunately, was another year where I wasn't able to do that. And I do try and take stuff from like those tough times, because there is a lot to be gained when times are tough. Last year, Worlds was like, I ran at Worlds and I was really, really happy to be there. I'm really happy to like represent my country, but I knew I wasn't going to get like my ass kicked, and I did get my ass kicked. So I didn't really get that much out of Worlds apart from a great experience. I ended up rounding out the season with a couple of better races. I ran 7:35, 3K in Zagreb, which was a PB for me. And then I got to compete in the World Road Running Champs. And those were the races where I really started to like feel like myself again. And I ended up spending a lot of time in Europe leading into those races, and just kind of like doing things like maybe slightly differently. And I just would say I started to feel, yeah, more like myself in a lot of ways, where I was just like enjoying things more, just being in it. I love like changing up the environment and stuff. And like none of my sessions were that crazy going into those races. Like it didn't really indicate that I was going to be able to run like a PB in the 3K, but I ended up having a great race and feeling really good about it, feeling really good through both those races. So give me a lot of confidence.
Have you learned anything from that? Like maybe earlier in your career, would you have needed to be crushing workouts in order to feel confident going into races? And maybe has that changed over the last 2 years?
You would think that, but actually I used to be really good at not doing that.
Really?
So I've actually, as a pro, I've gotten worse at certain times. I would say in college, Mick and I had, by my fifth year there, like things were really dialed in and I didn't feel like I needed that. As a pro, things are different. Like my kind of thought on it is that you have to be able to do the big workouts if you want to have a chance at competing with the big dogs. But I think, and that's pretty simple. What I think is more complicated, and which is where almost everyone makes the mistakes, is getting there. You can't rush that process. So I would say it just gave me more confidence to not rush that process and like take my time to get to where I want to be, both in training and racing.
So in terms of taking your time, you were just, I believe, 2 seconds off the Olympic standard this indoor season?
Yeah.
At BU?
13:07.
Stepping off the track, are we disappointed immediately? And I guess the days following, is that more like disappointing you didn't run the time and knowing that you're going to have to sort of gear back up in the outdoor season? Or is that just stacking another brick up? Like you're saying, it's just like consistency in terms of training and yeah, getting races under your belt.
What was really hard and disappointing about that race was that I felt like I underperformed, like regardless of like time. And yeah, 2 seconds away from the Olympic standard is pretty annoying in of itself, but I wasn't really thinking about that. I was more just thinking about like that I thought I was going to run a lot quicker and that I didn't. So I was kind of just like, what's going on there? Like, why was there such a big disconnect? And the weird thing for us as a team is like, that was actually pretty constant throughout the team. Like all of us thought we were going to go there and crush it and run way quicker. So I think coming off that race, everyone had a newfound respect for like sub 13 in the 5K. Because I think maybe going into the race, we thought it was not quite as hard as it is. And right after the race, I was like, god damn it, like I really want to go just knock out that Olympic standard. Like I really think I can do it. But yeah, like after a week or two, I was like, shit, okay, that was like a PB, that was like a good step forwards, I'm healthy. So I was able to turn into that, but initially I was like, yeah, a little bit disappointed.
What have been the goals in between that race and the Australian Championships, which are coming up in, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever.
2 weeks, yeah. So the Aussie Champs has always been my biggest focus of this kind of winter, spring block, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, Australia's weird. Like, you don't have to go race it necessarily, and you don't have to come top three, but if you do those things, it's really good. And I've always wanted to go back and race it, and because of injury, I haven't been able to, but this year I want to give myself the best chance possible. So everything has just been like stacking the weeks together to be in the best shape for that race. And like I was meant to race the 10K a couple weeks ago and I had a little niggle pop up, and so like I ended up choosing not to race that. And a lot of that was because like, yeah, this Aussie Champs is like that's the big focus for now. So there's been a lot of really good quality training along the way, nothing too crazy, too like different, I guess, from what you would expect. But again, it's just like, for me, it's like trying to stack weeks and trying to just continue to feel better over time.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mac podcast is Olipop. You know we've been pounding Olipop for over a year now, 2023 was a track season to remember, and Sidious Mag was able to be there for all of the big moments thanks to the incredible support of Olipop. What has become known as the runner's soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, or if you're just watching at home and want to crack a can of Olipop open yourself, it's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, that only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout never could. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for the next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime. Caitlin Tui's number one flavor is ginger lemon. There are other great flavors like vintage cola, tropical punch, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, and I'm hearing rumors of another one coming soon. Sidious Mag podcast listeners get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code Sidious25 at checkout at drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and most recently, they just got added to Costco, so pro tip there. Next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. Drinkolipop.com, code Sidious25.
For the American audience here, what is your path to the Australian Olympic team?
So there is selectors discretion. So as a minimum, you obviously need to qualify, which means you need the standard, all the rankings. And then it comes down to like taking into account like how well you do at the trials, like how high your ranking is or what your time is. If there's more than three people that have the qualification in the event. So for me, the 5K for Australia is looking like it could be pretty solid. So like my best path to qualifying for the team is to go win nationals, obviously, and then like knock out the standard. That's like the most simple, easy way. And you know, that's my goal, is to go and do that. So yeah.
Talk a little bit about Australian running as a whole right now. It seems like there
is crazy, isn't it?
It seems, you know, from the outside looking in, it seems like quite a moment.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you why exactly it is. I mean, there's fast people running everywhere, but Australia for its size, definitely, you know, we do so well, and you have absolute freaks like obviously Cam Myers. Every time I see him run a race, like I'm shocked that he's still 17. And he might have just run a race like 2 weeks before, and I'm like, wait, he's still only 17? And he just ran 3:33? It's crazy. People like that, I don't know how you explain them now. That's just like genetic freaks. But overall, I grew up with, I had like really good idols to look up to. Like in my squad, I had Ben St. Lawrence, who used to be the Australian 10K record holder. Craig Mottram, even before his time a bit, literally like paved the way. And a bunch of others who, sorry if I don't mention you. But then like, as we were growing up as like 14, 15, 16 year olds, that's when I fell in love with the sport. And I fell in love with it because I started going on training camps and stuff with a bunch of other good Aussie runners, names that you would see now, like Stewie, for example, back in the day. And I think it was just such a good cohort that like came through and just like really loved it and really loved like just getting after it and like trying to be as good as we could be. I don't think there's necessarily anything that crazy like beyond that. I think it's just like, there's such a love for like the sport now down there, and the coaching, similar to America, has continued to get better and better, I think. And it's like all the way through. Like if I go and look at the results of like junior races back home, it's like, it's crazy.
How excited are you to get back there?
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've raced back there. And it's like, I just love, it's different to America. It's like, I guess slightly more relaxed, I suppose you would say. Like the Aussie Olympic trials, nothing like the US Olympic trials. The US Olympic trials is probably the most high anxiety, stress environment I've ever been in. The Australian races are not like that. It's a little more chill. And it's just like, for me, the most special thing is just seeing like all these great friends that I haven't seen in so long and getting a race with them as well.
I mean, not to dump on the American fans here, but the Australian fans are way, way more engaged, way louder. And I don't know, it's just watching some of the races this year and the last couple of years. I mean, I raced down there a few years ago, but I mean, the fans are fantastic.
The people there love it. And I understand it because that was me at one point. Like when I was 16 and I fell in love with the sport, like I wanted to like eat up every piece of it that I could. And I know there's just so many kids like that there now. And then even, you know, there's older people that like were like that at one point, they still have that like passion inside them. So, and it's just so easy to celebrate it now when there is the success that there is with these amazing runners. Like, I can't imagine what it would have been like being at home when Ollie won like Com Games gold, for example, you know, right. Like stuff like that, like just makes it very special.
How nice is it being able to go down there with Ollie as a teammate?
It makes things a lot easier because we're going down 2 weeks before, little training camp vibe, get dialed in, get some good training in. But yeah, it'd be pretty lonely if you had to go do that on your own. Wouldn't be quite the same. So having just a small little crew is nice because you can really like just get locked in and just like do your thing, you know. It's even like I would love to go on whole team training camps, but sometimes there's just so much happening. So when it's a small group and you have like such a distinct like focus, I think that's like when it's the best, you know, and you just get dialed in.
So talking about OAC, day one for you, how many years ago?
I joined one team one year after the team was formed. So that must have been, it was right before the Olympics, 2021.
Okay, so we're on 3 years.
Three, four.
From day one when you joined to now, how has the team changed?
Well, every year it gets a little bit bigger. The expectations get a little bit higher. The gym gets a little bit nicer. Those are the things that have changed. The things that haven't changed is just solid training, just really hard training, very, very attentive, passionate coaching. The things that I guess you would say make us really good.
Are you at all surprised by the success of the group? I mean, I don't know. I feel like from the outside looking in, it's just massively successful so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess I could imagine when you're in it every single day, it's almost, I don't want to say
you take expected, it for, you take it for granted. You do. You do take it for granted, like, which is crazy, but I guess that's the type of environment that breeds that level of success, you know, is that when the standard is just so high. That's maybe one thing we could do better is take a moment to celebrate. I mean, we do celebrate, like when, for example, George and Yara came back, like there were little celebrations for them, but it's hard to like stop, you know, because someone's always moving forwards towards the next goal, the next race, especially like you chucking Helen into the mix, for example, and it's like she's got like always like, I don't know, the Boston, New York Marathon around the corner. Something's always happening, and Dathan's always there to like keep moving us forwards. And to me, that's a good thing because that's like where I want to be, because I know that's how I'll also have probably like my greatest successes by being part of that type of environment. So yeah, it is definitely taken for granted a little bit. I think once we're all done with our careers, it'll be like, wow, that really happens. But yeah, you can feel like there's a little certain bit of magic, I guess you would say. And I think it's about keeping that going for as long as possible, you know?
No, I mean, the few times I've come out to your guys' workouts, it's just the ease in which you guys take on difficult workouts as a group, I think is just really impressive. Just top down, nothing seems overly stressful.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've said it to other people, it's like you would assume going to a practice or a workout like that, the anxiety levels would be pretty high. I don't know if that's just my former athlete self, you know, thinking that that's what that's going to be like, because that's how I was. But no, I think it's just massively impressive how much everyone has seemed to just absorb the level of training and like the just the, I don't know, level of anxiety, because there is some, like the stakes are high for everybody every single week, and
yeah,
to be fit enough in order to you know, earn medals.
Yeah, I don't want to like give away the secrets, but the secret is it's just about like having just an amazing system, which like you got to give total credit to like On and Dathan for creating that, because every single person on this team has a similar reaction whenever they go home. Like sessions that we do here with such ease and no thought, when you go home and you try to do the same session, it's like, oh my god, like that is so hard, like like mentally, you know, more so than, and then that kind of bleeds into the physical aspect of it. So when you're here, you really just, it's just like the system is just so good for just us to like train at a high level, like 2-3 times a week, however many workouts we're doing.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip Collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at VelusFootwear.com.
On Coffee Club, on your podcast, you, George, and Ollie often talk about things that you'd like to see change in the sport, or maybe just different ideas.
Who doesn't?
Right? You walked into me leading solving their sport in this gym. So if you were made president of World Athletics tomorrow,
yeah,
what's the first rule you're changing?
The first rule? Well, it's a good question, but that's just, you know, that's just aiming way too low. I'm changing everything.
You're changing everything.
Yeah. I mean, people who have listened to the podcast will know like exactly what I want, because it hasn't changed at all. I'm making a league. I'm making everyone sign contracts. They have to race every race. I'm making everything just about all the best people in the world racing each other once every 2 weeks. That's all I want to see every single time.
I was joking with Weeding that I was going to get fit enough to pace the Bowerman Mile to be the rabbit, and then I was just going to drop out because I want to see them actually race each other and have their rabbit. I was going to step off the track at the gun.
It's very insidious of you. That's a great idea, though. You should try that.
No, I mean, George was very much talking about needing to see people race each other more often, you know, and how fun World Indoors was, because it's pure championship racing all the time, and I don't know.
Yeah, get rid of the clock. Don't care about the clock. Serves no purpose in terms of entertainment, unless someone's breaking a world record or like a national record. Those are very, very special. Obviously, I think those should still exist. But head-to-head racing is where it's at from a fan standpoint. I've just, you know, been a fan of so many other sports that are racing sports, and I have no idea what any time means. I watch cycling a lot. I don't care that it took them 5 hours and 41 minutes to do this stage. I'm just so excited that these best races in the world are just going head-to-head battling each other. So I think if you can do that in our sport, it'd just be so amazing. And I think you could really... My big issue is I don't know how to make it work for track and field. I only know how to make it for distance running. I think distance running is... I think they're just different sports, you know? Like, it's amazing at the Olympics. It's amazing being part of a team with everyone. But, like, in terms of, like, sustainability throughout the whole year, I think if distance running was kind of more, like, its own thing, and you had just all these amazing races with, a system where all the best people were on teams and they, like, had to race because there was actual, like, contracts around it, and that's, like, how they got paid or whatever, like, it would just, I think it would explode.
Right with you. Right with you. All right. Of the three of you, who knows the most about track and field?
Definitely not Ollie. Probably George. Probably George. I know quite a bit as well. Ollie knows more recent stuff, I would say.
Okay.
George and I have been following it for a bit longer, but I don't have the best memory. I'm a bit more forgetful, so probably George.
Okay. Of the three of you, who would make the best coach?
Also George.
George. Who would be the worst?
Well, George would... I've just seen it happen. So the three of us, like, agreed to coach someone, and George was just, like, by far the best at doing it. So, because Ollie and I were just too lazy, and George actually, like, really got into it and actually did an amazing job. The worst... Depends what you're looking for, you know. I think Ollie, this is a very diplomatic answer, but I think Ollie and I would be very different types of coaches, and I think we would suit very different types of athletes.
Who on the team is the habitual one-stepper? Whole team.
You know, the funny thing is Joe would have the reputation for that, I think, from the outside, but there's not really much one-stepping on this team because everyone's too good, you know. So, like... The we have more of the inverse of that, where Yared would be the habitual, like, backwards one stepper. He's always running at the back. And then it's like for me personally, if I'm not feeling as good, it's like, all right, I'll run with Yared today. I'll take it nice and easy, have a more chill run. Whereas, you know, like, Joe and George are going to be running probably fast. Like, most days, Mario will go with them and Ollie will also go with them. So, yeah, you can't really get away from anyone.
I love that. Who's the best pacer on the team?
Okay, well, we're all actually pretty good at pacing. Well, Yared has a reputation for not pacing so well, for going too quick all the time. So, like, if Dathan wants a rep to be too quick, which he does sometimes, it's like, all right, yeah, you're taking this one. Joe is the most consistent, the most, like, Joe's presence at a workout, especially if it's like a 5K style workout or anything longer than that, is the most, like, comforting thing, because he loves to just, like, just get on it, and he's not afraid to lead reps, and he'll be very, very solid. But yeah, we're mostly pretty good, but I guess I'll give it to Joe.
Who is the most likely to ignore an assigned pace? Is there anyone that's like, I'm going to get after this rep?
You know, yeah, so.
And not in a bad way, because I know Dathan sometimes encourages a little bit of that, yeah, occasionally, but.
You'd have to ask the 1500 meter boys, because stuff happens between those three, you know, like when they're going after it. So I, like, again, I kind of have to say Yared probably, but it's like, but yeah, like if Dathan tells him to lead a rep, it's like he wants him to do it, essentially. Hmm. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
That's bad. I love that. I love that Yared's the sandbagger on. Although today we saw him.
You saw it this morning.
Today was pretty funny. And you just got bored running Ks.
His threshold is actually pretty good. Don't let him fool you.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. All right. Last couple of things here. What's a successful 2024 for you?
Stay healthy. Qualify for the Olympics. Qualify for the final. And then I haven't really thought about exactly beyond that. I don't know. I guess we'll see what form I'm in. But goal number one is to stay healthy and feel like I'm moving forwards. You know, this year for me, I'm not going to put any limits on myself. I think if I stay healthy, I'm feeling better every week. Like with the training, I think I can really be like pretty amazing this year. But I'm thinking that there's a potential this year will be a bit of a stepping stone to next year. If I can, like, just, I think I need a little more time. So health is my number one goal.
That's similar to, I mean, what George was saying like 2 years ago. He was just sort of like expecting to make a jump, and then it just took a little bit longer, had a few injuries, and then, you know, he is right now where he thought he would be 2 years ago, and it just, you know, sometimes it just works.
That's exactly it, because, like, you can imagine how desperately I want to be winning every single race.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to be competing with people that I've competed with in the past and running these crazy times. Like, that's 100% what I want to do. But I also don't want to set myself up for failure every single race by just being an idiot. I don't want to be stupid about it. I want to be smart and measured and disciplined with these types of things. So I've just found, like, especially when there is some level of uncertainty, when you're looking for a jump or whatever you want to call it, if you actually, like, set the bar a little bit lower and you end up surprising yourself, that's a much better feeling than just, like, pushing. So I'm trying to let it come to me, I guess.
All right, Morgan, that's all I got for you. Thanks so much for taking time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit sidiousmag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.